call out to you for revival in this land. We call out and say, God, deliver us from this evil that we see all around us and that's surrounding us now, God. The fact, the chaos, the politics that go on that just simply deny your goodness and your presence, God. And we ask for that deliverance. But God, we're unwilling to repent ourselves. And God, over and over again, I see in your word that you're calling us to that repentance. You're saying to your people that we need to turn. And we say, God, take my life. Take my life. Change our hearts, God. Isaiah prayed that we would get rid of the heart of stone and that you would turn it into a heart of flesh. That we'd no longer have cisterns that have holes in them so that we cannot receive your blessings, God, but the fact that you would come and make us whole and make us new and fill us with your Holy Spirit, that your presence might abide. We pray, God, for your work within this community and within this church and within our lives individually, that we can surrender to you. Take my life, God. Take my voice. Take my hands. Take my heart. In Christ's name.
You can be seated. Well, I wasn't sure how all that was going to play out. I knew God kind of wanted to talk. At least he's talking to me. I don't know if he's talking to you or not. But I've been struggling. I'll just tell you. You know how, you know that expression? There are a couple of expressions like it. One is, you know, the hurrier I go, the further behind I get. Okay. And the other one that kind of, it's a similar sentiment, but it's a little bit different. The more I know, the more I realize I don't what I don't know. Okay. That is how I feel as I come to this passage today. And in my studies and my time, the more I study it, the more I look into it, the more I realize I don't know this. Okay. And as I come to you guys today, I come extremely humble. You know, I went to school. I feel like I didn't learn anything. I spent all that time studying and stuff, and I come to passages like this that just seem like God is saying something, but I can't get it. It's like there's these handles out there. You know, he has these truths, and I see a handle, and I want to reach for it and grab it and pull it in so I can look at it closer, and then it just disappears. And I can't quite grab on to what I believe God, all that God wants to say. But it's there. It's there. And there's some things I can tell you about the passage today, and I hope that we can grow in this together. But this comes to a place where I realize just, again, how much I don't know. And I'm sorry, as I feel extremely humbled that as your leader, I come before you and I have to confess, I don't know where I'm going. You know, if you follow me, who knows where we're going to end up is what I'm trying to tell you, okay? So I hope that you can grab on and hold on and we'll go through this journey together. But there are truths here that are extremely important for us to get. And I pray that, well, in fact, even as we start, let's just pray. Father, I just pray that as we approach your word now, that your spirit, which has been so graciously and freely given to us, that your spirit will speak to each of our hearts. And Father, the words I have to say, I pray that they'll not interrupt what you want to say. I pray, God, that they'll flow from you and they'll encourage us all to draw closer to you as a result. And Father, I know that you spoke some very profound things through Paul 2,000 years ago when he sat down and penned this letter. And I pray, God, now that just as you spoke through Paul at that time, that now you might take those words and make them alive to us, that we can hear the truths that you want us to know. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. We're in Galatians chapter 2. We've been studying this, for those, some of you who haven't been here or are new to us, we've been studying in Galatians for a while. We've been looking at it, and when we started in the beginning, and we realized that this was a letter that was different than the other letters Paul has written, okay? This letter had some passion to it, and he begins immediately, even in the salutation, he begins by telling the gospel, repeating the gospel that he preached to them before, that it was a gospel of grace, not of works, but a gospel of God's grace, and that we have salvation through the grace of God. And that's the message that he had here. So understand that he is continuing. And Paul was passionate in this letter because there were people that were coming and telling the Galatians that what Paul had taught them previously was wrong. But they were teaching that, yeah, Christ is okay, but you got to have works in your life too. You got to get circumcised. You got to follow the Jewish rules and regulations. And Paul was extremely upset. And he was passionate. And he was calling out to him. He says, how could you desert your relationship with God? He wasn't concerned about doctrine. He wasn't concerned about, you know, church attendance or anything like that. He says, how can you desert him? Him who called you. The one who called you. Because he's reminding us it's not about a system of beliefs, but it's about a relationship with Jesus Christ. That is where our relationship is. That's where our life comes from. And this is what Paul was so passionate about. He was angry. And we talked about how then Peter, he was explaining this to him, and he pronounced a curse on them. That was that passion showing out. Anyone who would teach a gospel other than the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he says, by the way, those aren't gospels at all. They're something else, but they're not the gospel. There's no good news in the fact that we're bound by laws. There's no good news in the fact that that brings death. And Paul talked about Peter and his encounter with Peter. He began to verify and explain how he had the gospel, how the gospel that he presented to them had been kind of authorized, if you want to put it that way. And he talked about the confrontation he had with Peter and how Peter had come. At first he had eaten with the Jews or with the Gentile Christians, but when the Jewish Christians came, Peter changed and he stopped eating with the Gentiles in honor and respect of the Jewish laws and customs, okay? And Paul reproached Peter about that issue. He says, how can you, Paul said to Peter, he says, how can you, you know, dare to say that you're following the grace of God and yet you're restricted by these laws? You've been a bad example. And he condemned Peter for his actions. So Paul now is talking to us, and he's speaking here. Now we're starting in verse 15. We're picking this up in verse 15. And I want you to take just a second before we begin reading. Look in your Bible, okay? At the beginning of verse 15, some of your Bibles, okay, and some of the translations are going to start this verse with quotation marks, right? Some of your Bibles are not, right? Some of your Bibles will not have those quotation marks there. And I want you to understand, I've tried to tell you guys this before, so that whenever you study your scripture, you can have the Holy Spirit speak to you rather than just be led by men unwittingly, okay? Every translation of the Bible has somebody's interpretation with it, okay? This is why I encourage you to read from a variety of translations, because you need to get the whole picture. The reason why that is in quotes is some people believe that Paul is now continuing to discuss the conversation that he had with Peter. This is a quote because he's still telling us what he told Peter. He didn't just stop with Peter and said, how can you say this? But he's going on, he's talking now about the gospel, and he's declaring the doctrine now. So now he continues, but he's still addressing and telling the Galatians about his confrontation with Peter in Antioch. Some people look at it and say, no, he already finished speaking about his confrontation with Peter, and now he's going on to talk to the Galatians about the doctrine of grace, okay? So you can take it how you want, whether it's important to you or not. But understand, this is a place where you see other people bringing their understanding of the scripture to it, okay? And helping us. And by the way, they do that to try and help us understand it as well. It's not that they're trying to mislead, but we need to understand in the Greek, those quotation marks were not there, okay? So he begins here, and he says, we who are Jews by birth and not sinful Gentiles. Now, if he's talking to Peter, I think he's kind of doing this tongue-in-cheek. And even to the Gentiles, I think he's doing this tongue-in-cheek, okay? Remember, the Jews thought that they had received God's blessing because they received the law. They received the covenant relationship, okay? And they had this blessing because they were descendants of Abraham. And they had received the law, which gave them the understanding of who God was. And because of that, they thought they were special. And the Gentiles, by simply the virtue of the fact that they had not been had received that covenant, by virtue of the fact that they had not been given the law like they had, they were the sinners, okay? And Paul was here kind of, I think, tongue-in-cheek. He was kind of mocking that understanding, all right? And he was kind of saying to them, you know, we think we're special, you know, because we're Jews by birth, and we're not the Gentile sinners, okay? And so we know, and then he goes on, he says, we know that a person is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. Did they know that? Do they know that now? They don't seem to. So I kind of scratched my head. Well, what did Paul mean then? Why was he saying this? And if he was talking to Peter, you can understand. He was trying to challenge Peter and addressing this comment to Peter that he was speaking in such a way as to remind Peter of the faith that he had found in Jesus Christ. But he says, but by faith in Jesus Christ. So we too have put our faith in Christ Jesus that we may be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law. Because by the works of the law, no one will be justified. Now, we got to take a minute. He has packed a wallop in those few words, okay? There's a ton of things that we need to understand. And that's why I say, I keep grasping, there's got to be a handle there. But I can't, because I don't know a simple way to say this, all right? And that's what I was looking for, a simple way. But I got to say, first of all, I want you to understand, Galatians has oftentimes been referred to as a Reader's Digest condensed version of Romans, all right? I don't know how accurate that is. I'm not enough of a scholar to really make that comparison. But I'll tell you that what Paul says here, you find oftentimes unpacked or expanded upon in the book of Romans. And if you want to make a note in your margins to refer to Romans chapter 4 about this passage. Because Romans chapter 4 is where Paul explains about the relationship of Abraham and the fact that Abraham had it counted to him as righteousness because he believed God. That it was a covenant of faith. It was a covenant based upon faith. And he's trying to point out here. And remember, Paul goes on from there and he makes an argument that Abraham didn't receive his justification because he followed the law, because the law hadn't even been given yet. All right? But Abraham was justified because of a relationship with God and because he believed God. And that's Paul's argument in Romans 4. He says that, in essence, here in that Reader's Digest condensed style, okay? He's saying, and although he's not mentioning Abraham, he points out that we're not justified by the works of the law. We are not justified by the works of the law. And that brings up another question. What does that work, that law, that word justified mean? You know, we get these theological terms, theological meanings, and sometimes we just don't know what it means. It's a word we use. We talk about it. We talk about our justice system. We talk about being acquitted and things like that. But what does justified really mean? Guys, it's more than forgiveness. You see, forgiveness means I'm guilty, but I don't have to pay the penalty. All right? And every one of us here, folks, is guilty. And every one of us here has the opportunity to receive forgiveness from Jesus Christ. Amen. That's the thing you have to know. But that's not justification. Justification is beyond that. Okay? We haven't been acquitted. We haven't been said that we didn't commit the crime, because we did commit it. Like I said, we're guilty, but we've been forgiven. Justification is a step beyond. Justification is, okay, I think I've used this example before, but it's a good one, so I'll use it again. You know, if you go to the Hall of Records and you look up my driving record, you're going to find out that I got a couple little dings on there, okay? You guys kind of know my foot's a little heavy, all right? And in a time or two, I've been caught, okay? Not often, but I've been caught, okay? And so there, you're going to go find kind of some marks on my record, okay? It's got a few dings. I'm guilty. Now, I went to driving school. I took the class, so I've been forgiven. I didn't have to pay the penalties, right? I've been forgiven. That's my record. But you go to my wife's record, what are you going to find there? Whoa! You know what she's got on her record? Nothing. She's got a clean record. Justification would be if somebody came along and looked at that and said, oh, wow, Ginger's got a great record. I'm going to take her record and I'm going to put it in Curtis's file. And I'm going to take Curtis's file and put it in Ginger's record. See, I'm justified. And Ginger now has the blame. And that's exactly what Christ did. He came and he stepped in. And he said, Curtis, here's my righteousness. Here is my life. I give you my life. It's going to take your place, Curtis. So you'd pass from judgment. And he says, I'm going to take your guilt upon me. And he hung on the cross to pay my penalty. And I am justified. Because he took the penalty. And Paul says we can't get that innocence through the law. The law doesn't give it. And he says, He says, so we too have put our faith in Christ. We've accepted Christ. We've taken what he's offered and we've received it into our lives. So that Christ Jesus, so that we may be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law. And he says here, because by the works of the law, no one will be justified. And if he's talking to Peter or whether he's just telling the Galatians this, it doesn't matter. He's trying to point out, it doesn't matter. If you begin following that law and practicing the law, it still isn't going to make you justified. You're still going to be guilty. You're still going to be condemned under the law because it hasn't changed. Folks, a couple years ago, you guys gave us a chance to take a vacation. So Ginger and I took off. We had a friend getting married in Pennsylvania. And, yeah, it'd been a long time since I'd been there, since I was a kid. So we took off, and we went to Pennsylvania, and we flew in there, and we got a rental car. And I'll tell you, it's not California. It's not Arizona driving there, okay? the roads are up and down and sideways, and every time you think you're going one direction, you find out, no, I'm all twisted around. I could not tell where I was because the roads are not in Arizona, in north is north, you're going north. This is a north road, I'm on that north road, right? I'm going east and I'm going west. All right, maybe sometimes you get one that goes a little bit off to an angle or something, but you're going north and west. That's not the way it is there. Every time you go over a hill, it changes. It swings back around and does something weird. I got so turned around. I had to start using GPS, right? And that was great. Ginger would navigate, and I would drive. But there was also what we found is we kind of learned to read those signs that they had up there, the signs post, right? They were guides. They were direction signs. Now, I got a question for you. Let's say I came across one of those direction signs and it says, okay, you know, this is the town I want to go to and it's that way. So if I got out of my car and I climbed up on top of that sign, is it going to get me to my destination? Uh-uh. Absolutely not. I'm going to sit there on top of the sign and all I'm going to do is still be in the same location, same condition, same problems, right? What do I have to do? I have to follow the direction of the sign to get where I want to go. Folks, that's the same purpose of the law. It's not going to get me to my destination. The law was there, and it was put there to point us to the direction we need to go. The law was put there as a pointer to help us along the way to justification, on the way to a relationship with God, on the way that we need to go. But it wasn't the destination. And Peter and the other Jews at this point were dependent upon the law to be their destination. They were depending upon it to get them justified, to get them where they wanted to go. And Paul was saying, that ain't going to happen. And he goes on here and he says some stuff. And this is where it kind of gets tough to explain for me. In verse 17, he says, but if in seeking to be justified in Christ, we Jews find ourselves also among the sinners, doesn't that mean that Christ promotes sin? What? How does Christ promote sin? And Paul says, absolutely not. So what did he just say?
Praise God.
Well, I do praise God, but I look at that and I go, I'm confused. Paul, what did you say? What do you mean here, Paul? And I understand that Christ does not lead me into sin, but what was he saying in talking to Peter? He was saying, Peter, look, you found freedom in Christ. You found the grace of God, and you found that justification through faith in Jesus Christ. And so you began exercising it, and you were no longer bound by the law, so you began eating with the Gentiles because you knew that that didn't contaminate you. You knew that there wasn't condemnation because of that, that the law was pointing us towards an understanding where we could find our justification, but we didn't have the law there to guide us this time. I mean, it's not necessary. And Paul was saying to them, if we think that in Christ it's okay to eat with the Gentiles, and we go and do that, but it's actually a sin to do so, then the freedom we have found in Christ is actually leading us into sin, is what Paul was arguing. And he says that, no, that can't be. He's trying to point out the ridiculous position of Peter, not the fact that Christ was leading us into sin. He was trying to tell Peter, you've got it wrong. You've got to think through this, Peter, because in Christ we have justification. We don't need this. And the law just brings confusion at this point because we found our destination, which is justification in Jesus Christ. And he goes on, he says, if I rebuild what I destroyed, then I really would be a lawbreaker. If I'm still living and still trying to follow the law, which Christ tore down, although he didn't eliminate it. I don't want to give you that impression. But he bypassed it, if you want to use that word maybe. He brought justification in spite of the law, in spite of the condemnation that came from the law. He says, if I tried to reinstate that, then I would be breaking the law. I would not be using the law the way it was intended. I'd be going around and following, trying to find justification in myself instead of allowing the law to point me to justification in Christ. And then he finishes this up and he says, but for through the law, I died to the law. And this is what this is where it comes down, folks. Because of the law, because the law was that pointer that sent me toward Christ, I found I could die to the law because my justification didn't come from the law. So I died to the law, and the law was no longer the thing that bound me. But Paul says, I have been crucified with Christ. Remember what happened. Christ took my sin. My sin. By the way, he took yours too. Isn't that the good thing? It wasn't just me, but. And he hung on a cross. The law is what brought the condemnation and made us aware of our condemnation. And he took that condemnation, he took that our sin and our guilt, and he hung on the cross. Christ died because of the law. He died through the law. And he said, and Paul is saying, I have been crucified there with him. I have been crucified with Christ. So I'm dead to the law, just like Christ was. I am dead to that law. And he says, I no longer live. I'm not living in my own strength. I'm not living in my own desires. I'm not living. Remember that song that we sang? I live because he's risen. Take my life. Let it be consecrated, Lord, to ye be. And he says, I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. And the life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God. We're no longer living a life in chains bound to the law. Now, you guys got to understand, I'm not saying the law is no longer relevant. We don't throw it out. The law reveals God's heart to us. The law reveals what God desires. He desires that we put him first. He desires that we honor him. He desires that we honor our parents. He desires that we honor those other people around us and that we live in right relationship to others. And he's given us those clues in the law. He's told us what he desires. But the point of the law was to show us where we failed. It was the guidepost that directed us to the forgiveness and justification that came through a relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, I want you to understand, I am still trying to embrace this passage. I don't know that I've got it all, okay? The more I study, the more I realize I don't know. The more I go to God's word and I seek after him, the more I realize how far away I am. And I'm looking so much forward to the time when Christ comes. And he brings us back into a right relationship with God at the feet, at the throne of God. And that we can worship him without sinful humanity interfering, okay? Without the flesh getting in the way. And we will get there. And that's the hope that we have in Christ. That's the promise of the resurrection, guys. But in the meantime, you and I have to make commitments each day. Each day we have to decide, are we going to follow Christ? Are we going to be like Paul and claim that we've been crucified with Christ? Or are we going to say, no, I'm going to do it on my own? You see, that's when we follow the law and we get in trouble. I recognize I can't do it and that I accept the grace and the forgiveness of Christ and his justification that comes. Now, I don't know everybody that's here. I don't know your relationship with Christ. And I don't know how God's been talking to you. Okay? And maybe it's just at your point in your life that you need to renew that commitment. That, you know, the funny thing we read in one of the passages, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present yourselves what? A living sacrifice. You know the problem with living sacrifices? They can get off the table. And so oftentimes we take our lives back and we try to get in charge again and we try to run things. And every now and then we just need to pause and stop and say, God, I've done it again. I've been trying to run my own life. I need to get off of the altar or off and get back on the altar and yield myself to you again. And maybe you're there. Maybe you've not ever heard about the grace of God, and you've never realized that you can be justified, not by works, but by faith, by receiving the gift of Jesus Christ. I don't know where you are, but there's an altar here. You can come and you can pray if you want to commit yourself and renew your commitment and your relationship with God. Or if you need to speak with me, I'll pray with you if you want to receive Christ into your life. Next week, we're going to have a baptism, a couple baptisms, and maybe God is talking to you about following in believer's baptism, okay? Whatever it is that God is saying to you, then I ask you to come now. We're going to stand and sing the song, I Surrender All. I Surrender All.